We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky with Wrestling with the Basics, and I have next to me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, thanks for. I think we forgot to do that. We forgot to do that last week, say where we're actually from, who actually is paying the bills here.
Yeah.
Because we're just volunteers at KFUO. But yeah, I'm from Trinity Lutheran Church and Darmstadt and St. Paul Lutheran Church in New Athens, so we really thank our congregations for giving us the opportunity to come and
most
be
definitely
of service to
and
you.
For still claiming us, even though
I know
we do this sort of stuff on a Saturday morning.
That's right.
So thank you.
It's amazing they don't come up and say, you know, really, John, do you have to mention the fact that you're from? Did you need to bring that out? And by the way, we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Definitely.
And of course, we are the go-to show on KFUO for Thanksgiving weekend.
I think that's safe to say.
And why is that, Matt?
Because there are a couple of turkeys.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're loaded with tryptophan, we're the show you want to be listening to. So, and Matt, should we get right at it? Because we've been doing some really, really good stuff. We have parables, and we had the parable of the foolish virgins and the wise virgins, and said the point of that is simply hear the word of God. That's what it is to be wise. Hear the word of God and apply it to yourself. Hear the word of God that says we're all fools, we're all sinners, but also hear the word of God that says Jesus is our salvation, our forgiveness, our mercy. He, and this is what the Bible says, it says he's our wisdom. But now the ball's back into your court. It's
all
like
right.
We're playing ping pong here. Worship.
Great.
Worship. Where are we going to go with
today? Well, just one other place where we hear the word of God,
okay.
KFUO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
90th anniversary, and so we're in Wrestling with the Basics. We're recognizing that in our own small, humble way.
Next week, more looking at what life used to be like.
Oh,
at
good.
KFUO.
Oh,
we
I can't
have a
wait.
Couple more of those planned.
Another story of Jolly John up on the antenna.
It was rough back then, man. You don't understand. You young kids, you come in here in the nice, warm studios, but we had to go out and crawl up the top of the antenna.
Yeah.
That's the only way the signal would go out. At least for our show. Other people
yeah, other
have
shows,
do
yeah,
that.
I still don't get that.
A shortage of electricity. They
whatever you
get
say.
They couldn't get it out to the antenna. We had to crawl to the top of the antenna.
An extra boost.
Yeah. So.
And what? Let's see. So we're thankful then for, you know, KFUO's recognizing different things. Thankful for technology.
Yeah.
As we celebrate Thanksgiving. And yeah, boy, you bet. Thankful for technology so that KFUO truly is worldwide, able to be broadcast via the internet to all corners of the earth. And we thank the Lord for that. That's
and now the wires run from the antenna into the station.
Isn't that
so
nice?
That's the advance. One of the advances.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way, just seriously for a second, thank you for mentioning that, because that's how my ministry here has changed. Because when I started, Matt, we basically were reaching the small Lutheran community, our Christian community. We've always really talked to people about God's love in Jesus Christ, keeping it upward, forward, and onward. But now, like you say, literally across the world, people are listening to us, which is almost scary. When you think about it. But yeah, it is amazing that the things that we share here on the radio station literally go anywhere that people can have internet service, which is pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, when you hear the number of people that have smartphones now, it's just, I think it's over 2 billion.
We talked
incredible.
About that before, how we've got shepherds out over there in the fields of Siberia that have solar powers on the back of their donkeys.
Yeah.
So they can have internet access.
Incredible.
So, it is incredible.
Ah, good.
I'm sorry. I distracted you.
Okay.
Worship.
It's all these stories you tell.
I know. When you get old, you know.
Oh, boy. But we enjoy them, don't we, listeners? Okay. Hearing the word of God, another place, as you already alluded to, is we hear the word of God in worship. In fact, we've been taking a look at our worship service and in terms of those different elements of worship and how each one of them is rooted in The word of God.
Word of God, yeah.
It's just not stuff Pastor Matt is making up or Pastor John over here. No, this is stuff that's been around for a while from the word of God. Some of it around thousands of years recorded in God's word. So that's pretty neat to think we have that connection, not only when we read the word on our own, but also when we hear the word preached and we say the words together in worship. And, you know, and that's one of the things I get joy from is in worship when you see people of different generations gather together and these young children are singing familiar refrains and speaking along the words of the Lord's Prayer or the Creed. It's just marvelous. And at the same time, right next to them is someone well into their 90s saying the same words. And just a part of who we are, this word of God that we say and we repeat and that we hear and inwardly digest, to borrow the words from one of our colics, one of our prayers we often say in worship.
And you know, it is neat, too, because I like the fact that it's participatory worship, that we're all saying the words. It's not just the pastor talking for an hour, but the congregation has a chance to respond the pastor and together with the congregation, and again, the word of God.
I think that builds each other up as we confess that faith together. And even as we sing together, singing those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together, that builds each other up. It's a marvelous privilege. Well, anyway, last time we talked about worship a couple weeks ago, we talked about the collect in particular, and we talked about how that
you know, I used to have a collect, but I put a little of that you know, the stuff on my hair, and the collect now is pretty well taken care of.
Not that type of collect.
Oh,
no,
it's not.
No, no.
What kind of collect is it then, man?
Very good.
So that's cowlick. I'm sorry. I was doing my little alfalfa thing there. And most people, see, again, the younger people have no idea what I'm talking about when I talk about the alfalfa.
Alfalfa,
thing.
Huh?
You don't remember the our
yeah,
gang?
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I know.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
I'm a Renaissance man. I know about our gang and the little rascals.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not cowlick, it's collect.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Anyhow, getting back to the
collect. I'm so sorry.
No, collect. No, that's fine. You know, that's again, that we're coming from collection, this collection of prayers as the people of God gather together to bring our prayers before the Lord. Those prayers joined together in one common prayer of the whole worshiping community. And the pastor oftentimes speaking that prayer on people's behalf, kind of that role of a priest bringing those prayers before God. So that's kind of neat, that unity in prayer. And oftentimes that collect of the day, a different one each Sunday, reflects, guess what? God's word once again, and the theme of the scripture readings for that weekend as well.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, too. It's what we call a proper, which means that it's proper for the day. And people say, oh, you Lutherans, it's always the same. But no, every week there's something different. It changes. And it's all, like you say, it's a theme. It all fits together. There's something in the collect that kind of informs you what you're going to be hearing and what we talk about next.
Yeah. So what comes after that is the Word of God itself.
Yes.
So we hear God's Word, and typically we hear a number of different readings. So we have the Old Testament reading, which again, the Old Testament, very relevant today too. It's not just something that was for the people of old, but it again points us to the one who's the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, points his head to our Savior.
And God doesn't change. So whatever that God in the Old Testament is doing, it's the same thing that God in the New Testament in our lives is going to be doing as well.
You're yes. Right. Yeah. So don't chuck out the Old Testament. No. So we've got the Old Testament reading.
Although we can eat pork.
We can't eat
the Bible
pork.
Doesn't make that clear.
We're thankful for that.
You can eat bacon.
Bacon.
But still there are things. Yeah. I'm sorry. Again, I'll just shut up.
The color commentary.
That's right.
So the Old Testament, and then also, you know, oftentimes we have a psalm, from the Old Testament as well, but that book of Psalms, sort of the hymn book of the Old Testament, of even the whole of Scripture, the psalms, those poems, those songs, prayers written by various people, many of them written by David, that's also included many times. And then we have an epistle reading. I think a lot of people wonder what in the world is an epistle?
Yes, what is an epistle reading, Matt?
So epistle, just really another word for a letter. And so these New Testament letters written by John, or by most of them written by the Apostle Paul to various churches. We think of the church in Ephesus or Philippi or different cities, but also to different individuals too. We think of to Timothy in particular, perhaps. Paul writing to Timothy, this young pastor, as he instructs him. So these letters that are written to various people, but again, relevant for our lives too. This word of the Lord for those people in that time and place, but also this word of the Lord for God's people today as well.
And I like that fact too, see, because it's not just a book of the Bible. It was one Christian writing to another Christian, speaking directly to him and his situation. And you're right, then. It's like Paul's writing to us and talking to us in our situation too.
Yeah, especially when he writes to these various churches in the first century and addresses the different issues they're dealing with, like in 1 Corinthians, for instance, in the book of Romans. And we look at around at our church, and we're dealing with some of these very same issues today. And it's because we're like them. We're sinners too. And like them, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ.
And so even though the technology has changed over 90 years here in KFUO, the fundamental human problems of sin and salvation are still the same. None of that's different.
Yeah. That's right. And you know, that's a neat point too. On KFUO, over 90 years, we're still basically, we are sharing the same story that was shared 90 years ago.
Yeah.
Different technology, same old story, same beautiful, relevant, life-giving story. And really, technology is probably about the only thing that has changed when you really think about it. I mean, people haven't really changed. God's word certainly hasn't changed. Technology.
Well, you know, that's something to think about. That's right. 90 years ago, this form of worship, and again, as you point out, it doesn't have to be this form, but it's a form that a lot of people are familiar with. That was the same form. You talk about collects, epistles, Old Testament. Everyone would know what you're talking about. And in fact, probably for maybe 1,500 years before that, people were basically using these same forms that we're using now. Yeah, it's not a bad... It's kind of held up, hasn't it?
Yeah.
My Pontiac is long gone. No one's driving Pontiacs anymore, but we're still doing this format of worship. Yeah,
that's right. The word of the Lord endures forever.
My transistor radio. You don't use those anymore. They're long gone, but this whole format is still here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good. And then perhaps most importantly, then is. The gospel reading itself.
Yes,
so from one of those four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, all focusing on the life of Jesus himself. And oftentimes many churches stand even in honor of the Holy Gospel, that gospel written centered in Jesus' life.
Oh, yeah, and special responses before and after the gospel.
Yeah.
And this whole triple hallelujah thing that sometimes has a verse of scripture in it too.
And I'm glad you bring that up, because even responses at all the scripture readings, you know, typically...
Oh, yeah.
The simple response is the reader usually says, "This is the word of the Lord," and sometimes the congregation responds, "Thanks be to God." But I think that's a wonderful recognition, too, that after each reading, those words, "This is the word of the Lord." This isn't just opinion. This isn't just something that you know, maybe contains God's word here and there, and we kind of pick and choose what part is really from God and what part really isn't. No, it's not that. This is the word of the Lord. The Bibles, the scriptures are the word of the Lord, cover to cover. And what you've just heard in your ears is the word of the Lord, that same word that's been heard for generations and generations.
And isn't it interesting that after each reading, we need to be reminded of that, though?
Yeah.
Because in our sinful flesh, we're probably thinking, well, I can see some of that. But no, the affirmation, this is what the Lord says. That's a good point.
And thanks be to God for it. He's the one who gave it to us, who preserves it.
That it's not just what, like you said, what John and Matt are making up, but it's what the Almighty God has said. Yeah,
you bet. And then, you know, like you pointed out, also the gospel reading, kind of some special things connected to it. Oftentimes people standing and ends with, the gospel of the Lord. And then also sometimes a sung hallelujah or spoken hallelujah, and sometimes even the words of John chapter 20 are said before the reading.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
What
so
that?
These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Oh, yeah. So in other words, when this was all recorded originally, it wasn't just that we're going to put some books together, make some money on this deal.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. But it was the idea that, no, this is going to be the thing that will give people life until Jesus Christ finally returns at the end of the world.
Yes. Yeah. So John's gospel, certainly where that verse comes from, but all the gospels, and I think even by extension, the whole Bible, these things are written Why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. So you have life in his name. You know, they're not just written for instructions on how to live life, although, you know, the Bible certainly talks about that. And it's not just written to make money. No, it's written so that we're pointed to Jesus Christ. Although billions have been sold.
Yes, they have. They have more than the hamburgers of McDonald's. Mickey D's. Yeah. So,
well, good. So God's word. And again, the word that points us ultimately to the one who is the word made flesh.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about how this lectionary is structured, though? Because it's kind of an interesting way that they've thrown this lectionary together. It's not like they just took a bunch of Bible passages and just threw a dartboard and said, well, let's do that one this week and this one next week.
Well, sure. Well, I think, you know, one thing to point out is, and maybe a lot of our listeners don't realize this, but especially between the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading, there's usually a connection. You know, these just are random selections. So listen for that. When the Old Testament's read, when the Gospel's read, there's usually a connection, which is pretty neat.
Here's a fun game you can do in worship. Okay. But no, seriously, listen to the call. I can say, okay, what's the call about? Listen to the Old Testament lesson and listen to the gospel. And almost inevitably, you'll see there's a connection between those three of them.
Yeah.
Something that ties them together.
Yeah. So each week, it's not just some random selection. And then likewise, you know, over the course of the year, they aren't just all random selections. So we do follow this lectionary that reflects the church year and really tries to highlight really the main points of Christian teaching. And oddly enough, no surprise, they're centered in Jesus Christ's life. So emphasis on Christmas, this time of Christmas, and Epiphany and all those events in Jesus' birth and the coming of the Magi and God's word for all nations. And then we have, of course, we have Lent and that time of preparation leading up to Holy Week and all those key events and Easter and the season of Easter and Pentecost and so on and so forth that really reflects the Christian life, the life of our Savior, the life of us as a church throughout the year. And I find that helpful as a pastor, because if it was just up to me to pick the readings, I might just go pick my favorite readings.
Yeah.
See, I really like some of this story here in the Old Testament. I really like this or that. And, I feel like preaching on this today. And it's okay to do that occasionally. But at the same time, I kind of like that structure of the church here, because it helps me as a pastor stay focused on those key teachings of the Christian faith, those key events, especially centered in Jesus Christ.
You know, the thing I like about it is that every year I know we're going to hear the complete story of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
From his birth to his teaching to his miracles to his suffering to his death to his resurrection and finally his ascension into heaven. And it's kind of nice to know that we're going to hear that year in and year out, because that's really all we got to share with people. We ain't got anything else to tell them except what Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he's done. So,
yeah, good. Yes, you bet. Yeah, I think it's a good point. And each year, you know, kind of focuses, if you use a three-year lectionary, so those lectionaries, a series of readings, each year it focuses on a different gospel. So it's that same story of Jesus Christ, but perhaps from a little different perspective from depending on what gospel writer it's from.
And it is different. That's what's exciting, because Matthew tells the story in one way, Mark has another twist, then Luke comes along and he's got his historian perspective on it, and it's fun, and that's part of another fun game to play. How is this different this year than what it was the year before and stuff? Of course, poor old John, he just kind of gets stuck in there.
Here and there.
He doesn't get his own year. Yeah. But, you know, he gets, we preach on him. He gets his time, especially usually after Easter. We'll hear a lot from the Gospel of John. So, could I ask you a tough question?
Sure.
Well, and see, I hate to do this because you never do this to me, and I don't
I gotta
want you.
Start doing it.
Well, no, because I'm the old guy. You gotta, you know, remember I'm fragile. So we do the gospel lesson, and we have those proclamations, and you know, glory be unto the whatever it is, Christ, or see, I'm an old guy, I can't remember that. But has it ever struck you as funny? So you read a lesson like we had last week about he cut them up into pieces and threw them into outer darkness, and then we say, this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's that all about?
Yeah, last week, I noticed that too. I kind of chuckled because last week in particular, it really kind of ends with, you know, being thrown into outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, you know, praise to you, O Christ. But I think as we look at the the gospel reading as a whole, and as we think of the message of the gospels of, as a whole, they really are those life-giving words. And even if in a particular reading, perhaps the law seems a little heavy, even still, that's God's word, and it's still calling us to repentance and still calling us to see that we've fallen short and we have a need of a Savior. And then that gospel, of course, that reveals who that Savior is, that's our Savior in Jesus Christ. Perhaps that Savior is revealed a little more clearly in some of those assigned gospel readings than others. But whether it's the word of law or word of gospel we hear, you know, either way, it's God's word working in our hearts and in our lives, not returning empty. And if it is that sterner word of the law, well, thanks be to God still, because it calls us to see that, yeah, I do need that Savior. Jesus Christ.
And I never thought about that before, Matt, but thank you, because now I'm thinking, because this time of the year, we're in the first Sunday in Advent now, aren't we?
Yes, as we're recording. Yeah, the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
It's hard for us because we're doing
this time warp of radio.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So we've had all of these texts that do have endings like cast into outer darkness and these calls to repentance and foolish virgins and goats that are sent off into the eternal fire. But, you know, I got thinking, I guess that really gets us ready then for Advent and Christmas, because I'm thinking, I sure hope there's a Savior coming.
Yeah.
Because if there isn't a Savior coming, then we're all really going to be toast, literally, when this all comes. And so I never thought maybe all of that kind of negativity, that final judgment stuff at the end of the church year, is just getting us ready to rejoice in the fact that there's going to be this little babe laid in a manger named Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. So anyway, that thought just crossed my mind.
Good. Maybe one more thing we have enough time to touch on is we also then have the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, depending on. You know, as a church, we have three different creeds, really, through these ecumenical creeds. And we have the Apostles' Creed, which is the shortest, and that's in the small catechism. It's kind of expanded on. And then also the Nicene Creed that really focuses on Jesus is a very God, that he's not just some guy. He's actually the Son of God. And then the third creed we hardly ever say.
Oh, yeah.
Is the really long one.
The Athanasian
Creed.
Oh, man.
And it really focuses on the Trinity and what that Trinity tries its best to put into human words, that mystery of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that's really what all three of the creeds do, I think, in many ways. A creed is just simply a statement of faith. What is it that we believe? And then that creed tries to put again into human words who God is. And so the Apostles' Creed in particular has three parts, three articles, each one focused on a different person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Apostles' Creed, now, you know, I think some people think, well, it must have been written by the apostles, but not written by the apostles.
No.
But it certainly reflects what the apostles believed and taught and confessed about who God is, and specifically who Jesus is, who our Savior is. And so, again, one of those elements that have been confessed for years, and again, I think something that as we say those words together, we build each other up in the faith. It's something that we confess as Christian people to each other, but also to the world. I think when we try to give witness to what we believe, that's a good starting point, the Apostles' Creed. What is it that we believe? Well, we believe in God the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, His Son, the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church. So I think it's a good tool, too, I think, for us to help articulate what it is we believe as Christian people, who God is. So we're up to the creed. Next time we talk about this, I want to talk a little bit about the sermon itself.
Oh, okay.
What's the deal with the sermon? Good. What's the purpose of a sermon? Why are some, 10 minutes long? Why are some 45 minutes long?
I'm not going to your church, Matt. The 45-minute sermon? Really?
Oh, shoot. So we'll talk about that next time on Wrestling with the Basics.